been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
K-Row. I've been there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
It's Christmas week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in for a very special hashtag MoLedge podcast. This is Rachel Herndon Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times, here with my co-host, Becky Lohman of the Catalyst Group. Before I introduce our Christmas guest, Becky, I have another hard-boiled question for you. I was listening to our Thanksgiving episode, and we had a pretty heated debate about green bean casserole.
Yeah.
Is that a must for Christmas dinner?
No, I don't think it's a must for Christmas dinner. Okay. I feel like Christmas dinner is not as, there's no like real, I feel like some people do roast beef. I feel like some people do turkey on Christmas. I feel like Christmas is more, there's not like a classic tradition you follow, yes?
I've actually kind of always thought that Christmas is when you do ham.
Okay.
Actually.
We do ham.
Yeah, we do ham on Easter. I mean, I think you can do any which way. I'm not as judgy about what people eat for Christmas. Very judgy about what people eat for Thanksgiving.
Well, just so you know, we're having green bean casserole for Christmas again. Because you were so passionate about it. So I'm like grocery shopping and like putting
things
in the cart.
That's the other thing I always wonder. Like, love stuffing. Why do we do it just once a year? Love green bean casserole. Why can't we make it for dinner tonight? But for whatever reason, we do it once a year. Maybe that's why we like it so much.
Yeah.
Well, our guest today is Mayor of Jefferson City, Carrie Turgan. Possibly the most festive guest I could think of. She's the go-to hookup in Jefferson City for Hallmark ornaments. Welcome to the hashtag MoLedge podcast, Mayor Turgan.
Thank you for having me.
So how do you feel about green bean casserole?
I like green bean casserole. It's good. It's a tradition that we have at our Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we have ham and turkey. Mom makes the best. Of course, I'm Greek heritage, so everybody always asks if we have baklava, which, you know, I can have baklava anytime I want. I shouldn't say that. Bring us some baklava then.
Right.
So it's fun being Greek, but we do the traditional American meals. But we always have feta, and people, you know, I don't know if you have feta at your Christmas or Thanksgiving, but we sure do.
That's my new staple, because I've decided we need to have salad.
Mm-hmm.
And but then I put, like, feta on it, and then I put pecans on it. And, yeah, you know, it goes downhill from there.
I feel like we throw out a salad on the table so we don't, like, feel so badly about ourselves.
Exactly.
But then, like, nobody. It's
it
like,
goes
we
untouched.
Just put it in the bowl, and then we dump it in the trash.
If you put some feta on there, you would...
Maybe that's the trick. And to be clear, I have no problem getting outside the box as long as you have the foundation of the green bean casserole and the stuffing. Then you can do feta, like then get creative, but you have to have like the basics. You have to have the basics.
I'm going to say that you've already got Christmas trees. That's probably enough green. Let's go ahead and get other colored foods.
You know, there's like veggies. Purple lettuce. I think it's cabbage.
I'm not
an expert on green. Actually, Ben and I were just talking about this, Mayor. So there's a new Greek restaurant opening. There's several other Greek restaurants around town, and I didn't brief you that I was going to ask this at all, but why are there so many Greeks in Jefferson City? It kind of seems like an outlier. Like, I'm from Kansas City, and there's not a pronounced Greek population there?
Sure.
I just find that interesting, and I'm grateful because Greek food's good food.
That is a great question and an interesting story. We all know the famous Aris's Pizza. Of course, everybody knows Aris, and Aris Pardalis started that business years ago on High Street. That's the original. There's more around the state, but that was the original one. And Aris is actually from my mother's hometown, so we have a connection there, and my dad knew Aris, and my dad went over to Greece on a summer vacation with Aris and some guys, some Greeks that went over there for a vacation to Aris's hometown, and that's where my dad met my mom. So that's how that all happened. So, you know, there's kind of all this Greek connection, but a lot of the other Greek restaurants, they're related to Aris. They're, you know, either his, you know, whatever cousins, and they're all related. I say they all came from the same place, and Katerini, Greece, is where they're from, in northern Greece. So if you think of Mount Olympus, that's the part that they're from. And And they can all cook, so that's how a lot of them have restaurants. They all cook, and I have a Hallmark store, so I don't
know. Well, you don't need duplicative skills, right? Like, everybody, like, pick a lane, and then that's the most efficient way to do things. So I think that's a great idea.
That's true. And you know, both sides of my family are Greek, and it's kind of interesting tradition and heritage that that was my mom's side I was talking about that's from Eris's hometown. But my dad's side, my grandfather George, that I talk about very often, he came to this country as a young boy. He was an orphan and came over with an uncle and came through Ellis Island and ended up coming through Illinois and Missouri. And when he saw the state capitol, he knew that's where he wanted to stay. And he lived and worked his entire life here within a block of the capitol. He started with shining shoes and doing other jobs that a lot of people didn't want to do. And eventually he bought his own business, had his own shoe shine and hat cleaning back in the day when that was a big deal. And was proud to have a business on Madison Street in the Central Trust building, and then eventually had a dry cleaning business on High Street. And then when he retired in 1976, he opened the Hallmark store, so I'm third generation. And my grandfather, you may remember the Manhattan Cafe, which is where the Grand Cafe area mm-hmm. is now, which is a great place to go on High Street. So my grandfather kind of fell in love with the lady at the Manhattan Cafe, but of course she was Greek, she was married, but she had a picture of her sister. And so my grandfather fell in love with that picture and went back to Greece and just with this picture and married my grandmother, and the rest is history. So kind of a crazy, my mom and dad both have these kind of, you know, crazy Greek love stories that, and here we are now in Jefferson City of all places. So
that's okay. It must be the columns.
It's the capital itself.
We do have the most beautiful capital here. And I can imagine when my grandfather came to America as a young boy and saw this capital. We see our capital every day. You know, we think, yeah, it's nice, it's beautiful. But you think of how stunning that is. And you get, you know, these stories of people who come here because of our capital. And I think of my grandfather and just being so, you know, amazed by our capital and loving it so much, and ended up, you know, living and working here his whole life and just around the capital. So
we really are lucky with how beautiful the capital is. I know a lot of folks, this is the one state capital they work in, but Danny from Catalyst does stuff in other states, and Danny and Greg will come back and say, you know, this isn't the norm for everybody, right? this beautiful rotunda and all of the marble mm-hmm. and the detail and sort of the history. No. Well, some people are doing, you know, floor time with, like, low drop ceilings, right? Yeah. You know,
and they look like office buildings.
Right. So, yeah, that's very true. We probably all take it for granted a little bit, but it's fun to have this, you know, this is our office, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's office.
And so speaking of how beautiful Jefferson City is, it's particularly sparkly this month, this week. Actually, probably a little bit more than a month. I don't know. So not everyone.
Are you talking about my Christmas lights or my reindeer leggings?
Yeah, the mayor is the person you see walk down the street, and like you smile because you're like, okay, yeah, like let's get festive and excited for the holidays.
Let's do it.
Like, let's do it.
So our readers know about the governor's Christmas tree, and Jefferson City has living windows. So for people who listen who aren't from Jeff and don't come to Jeff. Except to work. What are the living windows? Because I haven't been. You just went for the first time this year, right, Ben?
For the first time. It's been going on 20 years or so.
20 years.
You know, I guess I was a very sheltered individual or something, but no, it was a great time. I honestly did not expect to see that many people out on High Street. Like,
do they close it down? Kind of like Thursday Night Lives?
Yeah. Yes. Like, they'll close off streets. And we've got the cops out there directing in traffic and everything.
Wow.
So it's a huge event.
It's an amazing tradition. It's always the first Friday of December, so go ahead and get that on your calendar next time. And they have something in every window downtown. There's entertainment. For example, we had the string quartet from the high school playing mm-hmm. their instruments. We had the Nutcracker Ballet. The girls were dressed up and doing ballet in the front window. We have singers, dancers, trains, toys, animals. I mean, just you name it, just fun activities for the kids. It's just... we had Mrs. Claus in one of our windows. Santa was there. Cookies. It's so festive. You just walk from window to window and see what activity's going on. And speaking of the governor's mansion, they were open and they had thousands of people come through for tours of the mansion this year. And I was lucky enough to go through there. It's stunning and beautiful.
I've always really respected that tradition, the candlelight tours, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I just think it's awesome that they literally open up the governor's mansion, whoever wants to swing through and hopefully get through.
Well, it was neat because this year they highlighted they had stars for every foster child. So throughout the mansion, as you saw all these stars, it kind of brought to mind those that are out there in our state that need a little extra attention and care. So it kind of brought a giving and caring aspect to it. But the mansion was gorgeous and beautiful, and Living Windows is so festive, and it's definitely a tradition that you would want to come to Jefferson City for.
I think it would be kind of nice, and Becky might have insight on this, if they leave the Christmas tree up, like, through the first week of session, and maybe just leave the Christmas decorations up so people are just, like, come back to session, and they're just festive.
A little more festive?
Yes.
See, I feel like everyone walks in day one of session festive and excited. What we really need is them to put it back up, like, in late April, where everybody's like, this isn't going well for me right now. That's what we need. We need something in late April to really kick up the morality of the
April, Becky's going to walk around. Where's your Christmas spirit?
Like, we need to get that Christmas tree out. Because I'm a little stressed.
Well, and speaking of Christmas spirit, not just the governor's Christmas tree, there's a mayor's Christmas tree.
Yes, there is.
Yes, and it's on Bolivar, mm-hmm. So you may know where Patty Malone's is. It's kind of right past Patty's there, where the old bridge, the original Missouri River Bridge, and it's at Rotary Centennial Park. We're very lucky that our four Rotary clubs have embraced that area, and that's somewhere you can go year-round. They have benches and a beautiful view of the river. And we have a beautiful Christmas tree. This is the 12th year that we've had a mayor's Christmas tree, and it is so beautiful. The theme this year is a storybook Christmas, so it's kind of a Grinch tree.
Oh, I love that.
And it's so pretty. Definitely go. We have a big lighting ceremony and kick it off with things for the kids and music. And
yeah, you say bring out choirs and there's, you know, just the whole event. It's always a nice thing.
Yeah.
You guys did it the night before Living Windows, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my son's going to listen to this and be like, okay, look, we need to go see the Christmas tree, not only to see the Christmas tree, but because it's a Pokestop.
This is true.
It's
a
Pokestop.
Oh, okay.
Pokemon Go is apparently drawing him in.
Well, you need to definitely go. It is worth it. It's a beautiful tree, and it's stunning, and it's nice to celebrate our city, and having it right on the river with the view is beautiful.
So, first question. Are you excited in less than 2 weeks for the legislature to return to your town?
Yes. We love when they come back. We really enjoy it. It's their home away from home, and we like to do whatever we can to make it welcoming here, and really always look forward to it. Our restaurants fill up and our stores and our streets and people come, we kind of come alive when session's here, and we're always a great place year-round, but it's especially fun during session. So we like to be welcoming to all the legislators and their guests and their visitors and their families.
I'm pretty excited. Whenever everyone comes back, there's at least three new restaurants in downtown or around downtown that people haven't been to. There's JQ's on High. There's Theo's Midtown that's about to open. And there's a new place called Nourish, which I think you can get smoothies
from. Is that close to Columbia?
From.
Or is that the sister restaurant in Columbia? There's a Columbia restaurant called Nourish that's healthy.
Is it healthy
yeah.
juices and
interesting.
Free-range
yeah.
turkey?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I heard it's good. I heard it's
yeah,
good.
It's really good. It's really good.
It's on High Street.
Yeah, I always think it's funny when... So Kevin at the Grand, I feel like everybody knows who Kevin at the Grand is, and they'll know, like, the floor schedule like we will. They're like, oh, they're not going to go in until 2 tomorrow, right? Because that's how they figure out their staffing. Like, and I'm sure Kevin probably has, like, all of everybody's secrets. Just
probably.
Sitting there and, you know, pouring people drinks and such and just listening to people talk. I bet Kevin would be, like, a killer lobbyist if he ever wanted to change.
I got to the point where I don't even order. I just let him choose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
that's
worked
a,
out.
That's
so
a sign of a good restaurant.
It is.
You can charge your phone. Okay. Yeah, I mean, and that's how everybody is. I pick Graham because it's just very close, but that's how Madison's is, that's how Cork is. It's very much a community, and everybody likes seeing friendly faces, and that's what makes it so fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's just part of the dynamic of Jefferson City, though. You know, yes, it's the state capital, but it's really just a big town. It's mm-hmm. not giant city feel. Everyone around is still kind of the small town Midwest feel, and that's what's nice about the capital.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We have some really nice, unique, locally owned businesses that are very special. Like you talked about these new restaurants, and of course the Grand and the places we love, and Madison's mm-hmm. and all that. And this Nourish place is called Love to Nourish, and they're partnered up with Mo Juice.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're looking to doing our New Year's resolutions, and for people here in the Capitol too, I'm sure like me, I don't I don't cook, you know, so you can go to Love to Nourish and get the pre-made healthy meals and just pop them in the microwave, and you feel like you just had a gourmet meal that was healthy, and then you can get juice with it. So it's right there on High Street. So that is a really good thing to think about as we look to.
I feel like everyone struggles with eating right during session with all of the crazy schedules and stuff.
Every year around this time of year, I forget to ask Scott to get us a microwave for up here.
There is a microwave up here. Not in here.
Oh, I'm not using the Prescor microwave. Well, I use my own microwave.
Well, I'm not really one to talk because I did get a Dunkin' Donut just now, and we do have Dunkin' Donuts here in
Jefferson. Yes, we do.
I did have one of those, which is great. So, you know, we have a lot of new businesses, but I know that I always enjoy running to grab something to go like that from a healthy place, too. So we have a lot of options here for everybody coming back to session.
Speaking of a lot of options, parking. In Jefferson City, it always, so whenever the political realm descends on Jefferson City, there's sometimes unfortunate situations for those who aren't like the Missouri Times, and we have our own spot. So I know Jefferson City was talking about some parking changes. I believe there was a study. Do you have an update on any parking changes that might occur?
Well, that is good news that I feel very certain that a new parking garage is on the horizon. And we're working through those details now. The Madison garage is utilized almost to its fullest potential, so we really need a second garage in the downtown. And so we're working on a study right now and trying to identify where the best locations will be, and of course in close proximity to downtown and the Capitol, and looking at that right now. So I'm hoping here in the coming months, and I'd love to share with you when we get more information about it, but on Monday night city council meeting, we did pass a bill to move forward with our you know, move through the process of studying the area and making sure we can find the best location. So I think parking, we have a lot of parking, and really people often say they come from other cities that even if they happen to get a ticket, it's very reasonably priced and compared to other cities. So it's not bad. You know, and there's a lot of free parking near the retail shops for, you know, 90 minutes free. Yeah. So we want to encourage people to park and shop and eat, but that's not often enough time to do all of your shopping and eating and things. So we hate to give tickets. If we didn't, it would be all long-term parking, so we have to, unfortunately. But having a new garage will really relieve a lot of that parking pressure, and I think will make it better for everyone. So that is a project I'm most excited about coming on the horizon.
Speaking of projects you are excited about, the city now owns the Missouri State Penitentiary.
Yes, we're working through that, too. That is so exciting. I am thankful to our local support and then our legislators, Senator Kehoe, who sponsored that bill, and Representative Bernsketter and Barnes and Fitzwater. We had amazing support. And then Governor Greitens, when he signed that at the Missouri State Penitentiary, that was just an incredible day for the state, because that landmark is really, it's such a tourist attraction, and there's so much potential there for growth. We've had, you know, over 30,000 people a year tour it, and it keeps growing exponentially. In fact, we have a new prison museum there, and it has gone from like 2,000 to almost 8,000 visitors in like 3 years or so. I mean, it just keeps growing, and what we have there is so unique. So for the governor and our legislators to see the value in getting some redevelopment started is just so exciting. And there's a master plan, so this is nothing new. It's just right. Kind of been talked about over the years and just never really got it to the finish line. And now we're actually going to be working on getting an RFP and getting things that are on the master plan, which shows a hotel, civic center, conference center, meeting type space, and we can do some retail and other things there too. So it's going to be incredible. I can't wait to get that moving.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but was it you that spearheaded bringing in concerts to the Penn?
I was part of a group that did. I'm part of the Salute to America Foundation Board, which is our big July 4th. Speaking of our big signature events, July 4th in Jefferson City is the place to be, and we often try to, you know, bring concerts and acts, and we thought, how can we grow and expand what we're doing? So we moved some events to the prison, and we had 2 years ago Travis Tritt here for the first time for our first ever concert inside the walls. And who would have ever thought we would have a concert inside a prison courtyard? It's called the Upper Yard, if you've been there, and it's set up perfectly for a concert. You have these kind of ominous historic buildings on all three sides, and we put a stage on the fourth side, and it was the coolest thing ever. And Travis Tritt had a blast. He was so much fun. He was awesome. It rained and people just poured in there, and it was no big deal. When I met Travis before he went on, he said, "All these people are here to see me in the rain." He said, "I wouldn't see Elvis Presley if he came back in the rain." And he was so cute, and he just loved it. And, you know, it was just so awesome. And then this year we had Winona. She was here, and that was really cool. So we're now planning the next one. We have the date set. It will be the Saturday before July 4th. So it'll be like June 30th this year, I think. Anyway, we're really excited because the prison courtyard, the upper yard, can certainly be an event venue and concert venue. You know, Columbia has the Blue Note, and we could have the prison. And I know it sounds crazy, but we really have this perfect venue for concerts and entertainment. So, and that's been a great relationship with the state. We wouldn't be able to have that if, you know, we weren't able to work so closely with the state, because it's all state property, and now we're moving forward with the legislation where the city will get 30 acres and we'll start development. But still, it's incredible potential. In fact, if you compare us to Eastern State Penitentiary in Pennsylvania, they have 300,000 visitors. I mean, we're at 30,000, and just imagine. I mean, people are coming to that. And we have not only a historic prison, we have a capitol and a river. We're the only city in the country that has all three. We are very unique. When you look at us as a city, we're the only city that has that. And when you look at us as a state, this is a statewide attraction. I mean, people are coming from all over the world to go on a crazy ghost tour. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, these tours are, it's just, who would have thought they would be so popular?
Becky, have you been on the ghost tour?
Absolutely not. I don't even watch scary movies. I actually have been meaning to go to the penitentiary, but like the ghost tour is probably next level for me because I am a huge scaredy cat. The last scary movie I've ever watched was Saw.
Wow.
And it was when it first came out. Like, I watched Saw in the theater and I left. I was like, nope, too much for me. I need like uplifting things to watch. I don't need like horrifying scary things. I do have like a bunch of like scary movie ghost enthusiasts in my family. So I imagine I'll get dragged there. I'll just like cover my eyes the majority of the time.
Well, you can do a history tour.
Yes. History is up my alley.
And the history there is very, it's, you know, Sonny Liston learned to box there. You know, when you think about the infamous prisoners there, it's just, it is.
Sign me up for the history tour and the concert. I'll be there with bells on for the concert, but then I'll, like, you know,
Becky, I'm just going to ask you now. I'm actually trying to organize people to go to the ghost tour in April. Would you like to be on that list?
Oh, my gosh, so much pressure. This is, like, the perfect time to ask me to do this, because I'll say yes. Mm-hmm. I will say yes. I'll do it.
I've done it before, and I will say this. Mike Lear in House Communications is one of the tour guides. And he is phenomenally
good. I've heard that. I know. I need to, if I'm going to subject myself to being afraid, then this is the one time I'll want to do it. It'll be great.
I think it's kind of funny. And so last year, my late father-in-law did tours over at the Penn. And he did it like after he retired from DOC. So he had all the DOC knowledge. And then he started doing the tours over there. And he was just like so excited. It was the like most ideal retirement thing to do for him. Every day he's like, "You won't believe what happened today. I heard something. I'm like, you know what?
Ghost tour.
I was like, that's
like,
nice.
Talk about someone with an interesting job. I would be like, I had a billing committee. Like, tell me about the ghosts you saw today.
It is pretty wild. When you go there, it's just as if it was when they left. I mean, the prison is over 180 years old. It was the oldest prison west of the Mississippi. Yep. It's 100 years older than Alcatraz. Like, what we have here is like no other. It is so unique having this retired historic prison here. And, you know, it's been vacant for 13 years.
Yep.
This is nothing new. I mean, we've been sitting here in Jefferson City saying, do something. We have been going through several administrations. We've been trying. We've been asking. And I was so glad. I couldn't wait to be elected because I wanted to get in that prison and say, let's do something. This is so important. And I understand because the state has other priorities that, you know, they're not into land development. I totally get that. And that's why the city said, let's do this. And we're just thankful we had a very receptive governor who understands the importance of creating this economic development project that's going to be a huge tourist attraction and create jobs and bring people here and to play on the assets that we have as a state. I mean, we have this here, and if we don't act on it, it's going to crumble, because to allow that to be vacant 13 years, the condition doesn't get any better with time. So we have to invest in it. And the city has $20 million. We're sitting here saying, we want to build a road, we want to invest, we want to build this civic center, conference center, because as we know, we need meeting space here in Jefferson City, in the capital city. We want to build. We're ready to do a public-private partnership. We have city funds, we have tax money, we have private investors and private business owners that want to get in there and invest in this site. It is literally, it's a field. I mean, this 20 or 30 acres we're talking about, it is, there's a parking lot and there's a field. I mean, the gas chamber's there, so we would not build of course. And Becky won't
we're
come close to that.
She's about like, the commitment I made.
Don't worry about it, Becky. But then the historic area will remain intact for the tours. But the area that we want to develop, I mean, it's ready. It is just, you know, it's ready for development. So I'm just so happy that we're finally getting to that. And it has the most beautiful river view. I mean, the prisoners have the best view in town. It's time that we get to enjoy the view of this Missouri River.
Are you ready for Becky's five questions?
Now's the time.
Yes.
It's time.
It's okay, time.
Bring it. Okay, I love that. I love it. Most people are like, don't go hard. And she's like, bring it. I love it. Okay, so it's like a little Christmas themed. So first question, what is your favorite Christmas carol?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. I hear so many because at the Hallmark store, I hear them all the time.
You can, like, sing the lyrics in your head.
Oh, that's so... You know what's in my head right now? Well, Dirk Bentley, he's my favorite. So, but he doesn't have any Christmas songs.
I'm sure he does. Doesn't every famous musician have, like, some iteration?
At some point.
I mean, you go to Google if Dirk Bentley has any Christmas songs.
I will actually take
a look. If I'm missing out on that, I'm really upset. Such an easy question.
Well, it's hard. I will say it's hard. You know, you're on the spot. So, like, little Drummer Boy is my personal fave to throw on out there. Okay. There's like, Oh Holy Night.
Oh, that's
I listen to the
one.
Time Life, Christmas Treasury. Like a door.
So Parker, my 7 year or 8 year old stepson, he sings Jingle Bells year round.
Okay.
Year round.
Okay.
It's great.
Well, we can bring him to the Capitol in late April when I'm very stressed.
Yeah,
and I need
exactly.
Some
he would love to do
Parker
it.
Come sing for me.
Yeah, he'd love to do
that
it.
That sounds perfect.
So I'm going to jump in here. Dierks Bentley does not have like a Christmas album, but he did do the Christmas song, Baby Please Come Home.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite.
I knew he had to.
I'm going
to
download that right now.
There you go. Your newest
that's
favorite
my
Christmas
newest favorite
girl you didn't know that, you, that it was.
Yeah, thank you.
Second question. What was the first job you've ever had?
My first job really was Carrie's Hallmark because they named it after me when I was 4 years old. So I'm like, we're at child labor laws. No, I'm just joking.
Oh,
yeah. I tell you what, I learned so much because of change and how to take care of customers. And I learned a lot growing up in the family business. But other than my family business and Carrie's Hallmark, my first job was Hy-Vee. In the bakery, the best place.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
All the high school friends, we all worked in Hy-Vee, and I, you know, the donut holes when they would come out fresh. And oh, my gosh. So working in the bakery at Hy-Vee was the best job ever.
Yeah.
And then I worked at Central Bank. I was a teller at Central Bank West, and Kathy Crow was my boss. Everybody knows Kathy. That's where I learned all that I know. So, yeah.
That's a fun little, that's like a very Missouri or mid-Missouri job history, right? Like, you get your Hy-Vee, you get your Central Bank. That's, like, places I go all the time. third question. We kind of talked about it already. I think we did. But what's something you've accomplished as mayor that you're most proud of?
Most proud? Well, I think just connecting to the community has been great. Being out there. I know we all joke about selfie with the mayor, you know, but I really feel like when I see people now and they're so excited to see what's going on and being a part of that as a greater community, not just me as mayor, it's about the people. So that has been the best. But as far as accomplishments, I think getting this prison redevelopment bill signed would have to be top on my list. I came into this office with four goals in mind, and the number one was prison redevelopment. Number two is conference center or civic center, which will come along with the prison redevelopment. Third is Capitol Avenue revitalization. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, we have the new streetscape on Capitol Avenue, and we're working through condemnation, which would mean revitalizing some of those homes. So getting that process. And the fourth is riverfront access. So now I'm going to hit that fourth one hard. So I would say all four of those have been a point of pride for me, but also for the community, but definitely the prison redevelopment.
Question four, what is the best Christmas gift you ever received when you were young?
You know, my parents were so giving, and I think just growing up in the same house with my parents and my grandparents, I mean, like I keep saying, we're Greek, so we all live together, you know, we're all three generations. My grandparents had Turgeon apartments on McCarty, and you still see it a block from the Capitol, but we all grew up together, and you know, I can't really even place a specific gift, but just those times that we were all together, and I have a brother and a sister, so there's three kids, and you know, we're all that we have here. We're a small family because, you know, mom and dad's family being in Greece, you know, when you come over here and you don't have a lot of family here, it's really cool to just bond with family. So I think just that's the best gift and best Christmas carol.
I've stumped you, like the most festive woman in middle Missouri.
I know.
I'm just giving you trouble.
She was ready to talk parking.
She was
ready to talk.
You were ready for like the softball. She was like, yes. I'm ready to debate policy. And then I asked her about the best gift.
I will say, I have the best dad in the world. Everybody knows Jim Turgeon if you've seen him on High Street. And he is so awesome. And growing up, I mean, he would come home with gifts all the time. I think that's why it's hard to even pinpoint one. And having three kids at home, it was like always, what did you bring for us? Yeah. And having a Hallmark store, like, oh, what do we have today? So, you know, we were pretty lucky. And while we're talking about Christmas, I know I recently found one of my keepsake ornaments from 1976. And it was so cool because it was like, wow, here's, you know, mom, and we were looking at the tree, like, this is like the oldest ornament we have. And it's really cool to see like the little, you know, ball ornament that says 1976 on it. And that's something that's really cool being in the Hallmark business, is that you create those memories and traditions, and you see the ornaments on the tree, and it kind of takes you back to that time, or grade school or high school. Like, you see them and you remember that time in your life. And you may not really remember the gift you got that year, but you remember that moment, and you remember Christmas, and you remember the tree and the keepsakes. And when you see those ornaments, I mean, I'm sure you all probably feel that too with your trees and whatever your kids have on the tree.
My mom is a Hallmark addict. Like, my entire life, she would, like, November would come around, she's like, okay, it's time to go get your ornament. And so, like, I'm like busting them out, because we have like the formal tree that the cats don't touch as long as they want to live in my house. And then there's the tree downstairs with all the ones we picked up from vacations and from Hallmark. And I have all of mine from my entire life. Yeah. And now Parker's like, what's this? And I was like, well, obviously it's a glitter kitten. Like,
Obviously.
I've got one that's like
silly Snoopy. Question.
Yeah. I got one from like whenever I was in seventh grade, I wanted to be an attorney so badly. And it says Legal Beagle, and he's juggling briefs. And he has like a briefcase that says Legal Beagle on him. Parker didn't find it as amusing.
One day he will. I think that's something you sort of, you know, I remember being young and my mom showing me ornaments, and you're kind of like, okay, like you are with all things. And then the older you get, the more you're like, okay, that actually is cool. This actually is the ornament you got when I was born. You know, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last question. What is your New Year's resolution?
I have it. It's buckle up, phone down. That's my thing.
That's a good one.
I've become a big fan of all the MoDOT signs, how they're changing. Yes. Like during Thanksgiving, it was like, don't be a turkey. Wear your
seatbelt. That's great. Like MoLedge gotcha or MoDOT gotcha. MoDOT. Not MoLedge. MoDOT gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. MoDOT's pretty punny these days. I love it.
That's a really good one, is texting and driving. I get scolded on the reg, whether it's from Catalyst or my husband or the police officer who's pulled me over for texting and driving. I get reprimanded quite often, so that should be, I should put like a sign be, like in my car, like, put your phone down.
Well, before you leave, and it's too bad you can't see us, we're going to do the thumbs up, thumbs down, buckle up, phone down, and we'll hashtag it, and we'll get a selfie of us doing buckle up, phone down. There you go. You got it. One thumb up, one thumb down. And it's just,
I love how she's like, you got it. And I'm like, this
you
is
got it.
I love it. Positive reinforcement.
You got it, because that is so important. So I say it's my New Year's resolution for the entire city, really for the entire state, because As we know, Missouri has about the most relaxed laws. I think we're one of four states that allows texting. We only prohibit it if you're under 21, yep. Which is just ridiculous. So I can't wait for session to start because I'm looking forward to some bills that are going to say, come on, people. I mean, under 21, really, it should be for everybody. It should not be permitted to text and drive ever, ever. Don't do it. Buckle up, phone down. My New Year's resolution, and it's your New Year's resolution. Everybody listening. The mayor just said it. I said everybody's New Year's resolution.
I will say, I think it's interesting. Hawaii, I think, just passed a law that you can't even, like, use a crosswalk while you're texting. Which I'm pretty sure, like, half the people in the Capitol, like, tried to hit me with the car at one point and the other, because I'm always walking from the Capitol to our office or, you know, back and forth. I'm always not paying attention, just walking in the traffic.
Yeah.
But I mean, whenever you go from downtown Kansas City to Jefferson City, I don't think anyone's going to hit
me. Maybe someone just needs to, like, ding you just a little, and then you'll realize, you'll be like, oh, don't do it.
I volunteer.
You got to get tapped a little bit. Yeah, the list, Twitter will be flooded with, like, people are like, I'll do it.
My volunteer's tribute. Thank you, Becky.
Anyway. I was wondering if anyway, we can talk off air.
Of course, thank you so much for joining us for the hashtag MoLedge podcast. Thank you for joining us, Mayor Turgeon. I say it right that time? I'm on a roll of botching people's names.
And it's because I never say them out loud. G. It was Dan Klein Sorgi and then Turgeon, right? So it's always the hard G or the soft G. That's where it gets you.
It's throwing me up.
Well, when we had an exchange student come here and she could not figure out how to say my name, and I said, well, it's like gin, like the drink, and she got it then.
Yeah, that's what you've been texting me.
I can't believe I just said that on this podcast, but I mean, I never say it like that, but I was wanting to send you a little signal across. It's like gin. It's like Turgeon.
Like gin. There you go.
Or the gin blossoms. They were here at 4th of July last year.
There
so
you go.
Turgeon like gin blossoms.
I was telling my husband, I was like, I think the mayor and I have similar tastes in music. She brought in Travis Tritt. He's one of my favorites, like, from being a kid. Like, I had a clock radio and I was like listening to the songs when he was coming to the radio.
Right.
Which is normal. Anyway, we will be back with a new episode of the hashtag MoLedge podcast, sponsored by the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce, next year. But now, we have to take a selfie.
Yes, we have to take a selfie.
Let me take a selfie.